We'll turn tonight to the Old Testament again, 1 Kings, please, chapter number 9. 1 Kings, and it's chapter number 9. I want to thank God's people for praying for the meetings and for praying for the preacher. It's just wonderful how the Lord guides and how the Lord directs, and whenever you're speaking to people that you know so well, a lot of people anyway that would hear me most Sundays, you have to prepare new messages. And the Lord has been really helping with that and guiding and directing, especially in the prayer meetings in our own church. We have an early morning prayer meeting on a Thursday from 7 o'clock to 10. And we've had a late night of prayer as well. And very often in those prayer meetings, the Lord just seems to minister to this heart and just really impress messages from himself, I believe, for these meetings over these 2 weeks. But one of the problems that we often have is, how do we know which message to preach on which night? Because I believe that the Lord has a special message for each meeting. And we've been really seeking the Lord about that and praying earnestly. And there's some messages that I'm really looking forward to preaching. There's one that I want to bring on the love of God, the greatest love that the world has ever known. And I'm not sure what that night that'll be on, but I'm sure the Lord will guide. And then there's other messages that we come with real fear and real trembling to bring. And tonight the Lord, I believe, has given me a very solemn message, a message that I've never preached before anywhere, and a message that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting. I believe confirmed it this morning very clearly, and even in the prayer meeting before the service as well, just impressing this message upon my heart. And we're going to read from 1 Kings chapter 9, and we'll read the first 9 verses. 1 Kings 9, verse number 1. And it came to pass, when Solomon had finished the building of the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all Solomon's desire which he was pleased to do, that the Lord appeared to Solomon the second time, as he had appeared to him at Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this house which thou hast built to put my name there for ever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. And if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of thy kingdom upon Israel forever, as I promised to David thy father, saying, There shall not fail thee a man upon the throne of Israel. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight. And Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. And at this house which is high, every one that passeth by it shall be astonished, and shall hiss, and they shall say, Why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, Because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. And we know that God will bless this very solemn portion of his precious word to every heart tonight for his own namesake. Now let us just unite our hearts together again, and let us just still our hearts and pray. Loving God, and everlasting Father, we thank thee, O God, this evening that we can make an appeal to thy mercy. And we pray, O God, tonight that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to lead men and women and young people to Calvary. We thank thee, O God, that mercy there is great, and grace is free, and pardon there was multiplied to me. And it was there that this burdened soul found liberty, at Calvary. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt be pleased, Lord, to bring others to that blessed place, Lord, may they behold the Lamb of God. May they survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Lord, thou dost know tonight this heart's desire is that thy name would be glorified, that lives might be touched, that I would be hidden behind the cross, that nothing would be seen or made of mortal man, but all honour and praise and glory will go to the one at thy right hand. Speak, Lord, we pray, and take full control, we ask in the Saviour's name. Amen. Tonight, friends, I want to relate to you one of the most tragic stories in all the Bible. In fact, it's a story that is so tragic that we could scarcely believe that it actually happened. It's the story of Solomon. The shipwreck, the spiritual shipwreck of Solomon. Now, Solomon was a spiritual and a national giant. And yet there are many tonight that would not be aware that Solomon had a terrible downfall. One that in this side of eternity that he never really fully recovered from. He became a spiritual shipwreck. Most people know Solomon as being a man that was endued with heavenly wisdom. A man that was blessed with wealth beyond all measure. A man that built the temple in Jerusalem. A man that reigned on the throne in Judah and Israel. But there are many tonight that would not be aware that Solomon was a man that backslid terribly and made spiritual shipwreck. And that is a very real possibility for any person to do. People that know the gospel, people that know the truth can very quickly depart from it. And people that are saved can make spiritual shipwreck. It was something that the Apostle Paul himself was acutely aware of. He said that he was so concerned that after having preached to others himself, that there was a possibility that if he got his eyes off the Lord, even momentarily, that somehow he himself could become a spiritual shipwreck. Or, as he described it in 1 Corinthians 9:17, a castaway. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Now, it's hard to believe tonight that such a thing is possible. But it can happen. And it does happen. That people can make spiritual shipwreck. Many of the older saints tonight will be able to testify that they have seen it happen. I have seen it happen in my limited experience. It could happen to me. It could happen to you. It could happen to any one of us. And it's amazing how far a person can get from God. And how far they can fall into sin. Somebody who once walked with God and knew the Lord and experienced God's blessing in their life. Solomon was such a character. And we're going to consider tonight the spiritual shipwreck of Solomon. And I want to say three very simple things about Solomon. I want to say something first of all, and we'll spend a little bit more in this first point. I want to say something about Solomon's favorable beginnings. Solomon's favorable beginnings. I don't think there was a man in all the Bible that had the privileges that Solomon had. As he was born into this world and his life began, he was born with tremendous privileges, tremendous favors. God blessed him abundantly. He had a great start in life. And as a child of God, as a young man, he made a great start for God. And it's important to do that. But friends, tonight, it's not so much how you start that it's the important thing. But the vital thing is how you finish in life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now, I want to say a few things about Solomon's favorable beginnings. First of all, Solomon was the son of King David. He was the child of a king. He was the child of Israel's greatest king, King David. Saul has slain his thousands, but David has tens of thousands. David was the sweet psalmist of Israel. David could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." David was a man after God's own heart. Yes, David had made mistakes. But David was a man that knew God. And Solomon was the son of David. Now in Psalm 72, that psalm almost exclusively is given over from David praying to God for his son Solomon. So David was a praying man, and Solomon had a praying father, and Solomon had a praying mother. And it may be tonight that you have had that same privilege, a praying father or a praying mother that brought you up in the gospel and loved you and cradled you in truth and have prayed for you every single day since you were conceived in your mother's womb. And there's never been a day that has gone by where you haven't been conscious, my father or my mother, they love the Lord and they love me. Solomon was a child of the king. And he was also a child of the king in a spiritual sense. And you can look back to a time in your life as well, whenever you became a child of the king. Whenever you were born again of the Holy Ghost. And in simple childlike faith you called upon the Lord. And God came down and God saved you. And you knew, you had assurance in your heart, I'm a child of God. The very king of all heaven is my father. You knew God as your father. You were a son of the king, just like Solomon. And then we could think as well about Solomon's name. You know the name Solomon, it literally means peaceable. And I believe that as David and Bathsheba lifted this little boy, as he was born into this world, and they consulted God and they prayed, that their desire for that little boy was that he might enjoy peace. That he might enjoy the peace of God in his soul. And that he might have peace with God. And so they decided we'll call the boy Solomon. And friends, what a wonderful thing it is to have peace with God. The word of God tells us that Jesus Christ has made peace through the blood of his cross. The word of God says, now therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist could say, great peace have they that love thy law. The Bible speaks about a peace that passes all understanding. And maybe tonight you look back to a time in your life whenever, yes, you enjoyed that peace. You could go to bed at night. You could put your head in your pillow. And the peace of God filled your heart. You knew that if I die tonight, if I die right now, I can go out into eternity and I can stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I know that up until this point in time, since my conversion, I have sought to walk with God. But somehow tonight, that peace isn't there. That peace is gone. And no longer do you enjoy the privileges of being a child of the king. Yes, you maybe still are a child of the king, but you don't have that relationship with your Father in heaven that you once had, and the peace of God is gone. And you'll know as well, some of you from Scripture, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 1, we are given there the genealogy, the family tree, if you like, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on down through that family tree, we have Ruth, we have Obed, we have Jesse, then we have David, and then we have Solomon, and it follows right down to the very birth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. You see, the family of Solomon was also the family of Jesus Christ. And Solomon was part of the family of God in a physical sense. And Christ was formed in that family line. And again, you're the same, and you can look back, yes, to a time whenever you entered into the family of God, and Jesus Christ was formed in your heart by faith. That was the prayer that the Apostle Paul had for the church in Galatia, that Christ might be formed in them. And you can look at your life and you can say, yes, I know that I was born into God's family, and I know that Jesus Christ was in my heart and in my life, and I displayed the fruit of the Spirit, and people could see Christ in my life. And then we have Solomon's kingship, because there was a time in his life whenever he ascended to the throne in the land of Israel as well. He reigned upon a throne. The Lord had lifted him up. The Lord had exalted him. The Lord had caused him to reign. And there's maybe once a time in your life as well, whenever you were conscious that you were seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. and you were a king and a priest unto God. And then we read on, and we read about Solomon and all of these privileges that he had in his beginnings, and we read as well that this was a man that had a prayer life. We read about that in the very chapter that we've read this evening in verse number 3. The Lord says, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication which thou hast made before me. And many times in the Word of God, we read how Solomon prayed. One night in his bed, God visited him and God said, Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon prayed for wisdom. He didn't pray for wealth, he didn't pray for fame, he didn't pray for riches, he didn't pray to be exalted. He just said, Lord, give me wisdom. He was humble, he wasn't self-seeking, his heart was open to God, he had a prayer life, he could see that there were answers to prayer. Whenever the temple was built, he dedicated the temple in prayer, the power of God came down and filled the temple, and Solomon was a man that had a prayer life, a devotional life, and maybe there was a time in your experience as well, whenever you were in a prayer meeting, whenever you had a prayer closet, whenever you sought the face of God, and there was nothing you delighted in more than getting before the very throne of God. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour, that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer, and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. And you had a prayer life, you had a devotional life, and that's gone. Then we see Solomon's heart as well. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 3, very simply says at the beginning of the verse, and Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. He had a heart for God. He could come before the Lord's throne like God's servant Peter. And even whenever he had failed, he could come before the throne of God and say, Lord, thou knowest all things. Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Solomon could have sang, my Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. And you can say at a time in your life, I love him because he first loved me. But if you're honest tonight, friend, it has been years since you got before the Lord and you could say in your heart, I love the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplication. When was the last time, friend, you got before the very throne of God itself and with passion and truth and honesty in your heart have just simply said to the Lord, Lord, I love you. Some of you tonight in the meeting maybe haven't been able to do that for years. Solomon had a loving heart. Solomon had a listening heart. His heart was open before God. His heart was open just as a flower opens to the sun. He was completely surrendered. He was completely yielded. He was open to God. His heart was tender. He had a heart for God. You'll also notice in the Bible that Solomon was a man that God endued with great wisdom. We read in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 9 that he prayed that the Lord would give him an understanding heart, and the Lord answered that prayer. And the grace of God and the gifts of God filled Solomon's heart, and he was given the gift of wisdom, and he was given the gift of discernment, and he was given the gift of judgment to discern between truth and error, flesh and spirit. And he knew the truth when he seen it, and he knew error when he seen it. And the grace of God was in his life. In fact, he became known in all the region for his great wisdom. In fact, on one occasion, two prostitutes came to him. And they had a little baby. And each one of those women said, this is my little baby. And Solomon in his wisdom says, well, if you can't agree on whose it is, let me bring a sword and we'll divide it and you can have a part each. Because he knew that the heart of the real mother will long for that child and want the child to live. Such was the wisdom of Solomon, the grace of God in his life. And maybe again there was a time in your life where you knew the grace of God and God had gifted you. Maybe you were gifted in working with young people. Maybe you were gifted in prayer. Maybe you were gifted in evangelism or encouragement, and you could discern between right and wrong, and you had a heart to do the right. And on top of that, God gifted Solomon with wealth. And God began to give Solomon things that he hadn't even asked for, because God does exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And God blessed him with riches. temporal blessings. And I don't think there's anybody here this evening that can't testify that the Lord has been good to us. And the Lord has given us spiritual riches in Christ Jesus. And then we have Solomon's writings. He wrote three books in the Bible. He wrote the book of Proverbs, full of wisdom. He wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, a book that is full of woe. And he wrote the book of Song of Solomon, a book that is filled with wonder, and a book that is filled with worship, and a book that is filled with devotion. And for Solomon to be able to do that, the Holy Ghost had to anoint him. Because the Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So Solomon had the Holy Ghost upon him. He was anointed in a way that very few people have been anointed, so much so that he could write the very words of God. And the book of Ecclesiastes is often called the Ecclesiastes or the Preacher. Solomon could preach the word of God. Solomon could make known to men and women the mysteries of the Godhead. Solomon, we know, was the man that was involved instrumentally in building the temple of God in Jerusalem. The greatest building that ever stood in the land of Israel. Solomon built it. And there was maybe a time in your life where you were involved under God in building the church of Jesus Christ. And you were praying and you were witnessing and you were speaking to people about the Lord and the grace of God was upon you. And whenever missions like this came along, you were the one that was in the prayer meeting praying for others. You were the one that was out in the doors giving out invitations. You were the one that was going to your workmates, your family members, and giving out gospel tracts, and all that's gone as well. Solomon's dwelling place was Mount Zion itself, the city of our God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. He dwelt in Mount Zion, the dwelling place of God on this earth. He was in fellowship with God. He was in the mountaintop with God. He was in a place with God where he could enjoy fellowship. He was close to God. The result of that was that Solomon had a great testimony. We read in 1 Kings chapter 10 about the Queen of Sheba traveling hundreds and hundreds of miles just to listen to this man talking about his God and imparting wisdom. And people knew Solomon knows his God. Solomon can pray. Solomon can preach. Solomon's anointed with the Holy Ghost. Solomon has got wisdom. Solomon's got a testimony. And there was a time you had a testimony as well. Whenever people looked at you, they said, there's a woman that loves God. There's a man that's on fire for God. There's a person that's got an encouraging testimony. There's a person that's walking for God. Solomon was in covenant union with God. We read about that in 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse 2. The Lord appeared unto Solomon. And the Lord says, Solomon, if you continue to walk with me, I'll bless you. But Solomon, if you depart from me, there's going to be trouble. And God made a covenant with Solomon. And the Lord Jesus Christ has made a covenant with every person who's come to him by faith. In the Last Supper, he took that cup and he says, this cup is the New Testament or the New Covenant in my blood. He says, this is shed for many for the remission of sins. And there was a time whenever you experienced what it was to enter into all of the covenant blessings of God and you were married by faith to Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you tonight that God is not a God who breaks his covenant. Solomon had favorable beginnings. But then something changed. Somewhere along the line, all those things seemed to change for Solomon. If they didn't change internally, they certainly changed externally. Because we have in Scripture Solomon's fearful backsliding. Solomon's fearful backsliding. Something went wrong. Wasn't just that there's a couple of mistakes. Wasn't just that he stumbled and fell and picked himself up again and went on. Something went terribly wrong. This godly king, God himself so deep in sin, that if you saw Solomon a few years before he died, you wouldn't even think that it was the same person that built the temple in Jerusalem. Solomon became a spiritual shipwreck. And you would hardly believe that it could happen. You say, well, what happened in Solomon's life? Well, Solomon began to make worldly alliances. Solomon began to sail close to the world. You trace the history in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 9. He makes affinity with the king of Tyre, a nation that hates the Israelites. Then he also makes affinity with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, a nation that hates the people of God, a nation that God has redeemed his people from. In chapter 10, he makes affinity with the Arabians. And these alliances with the world that Solomon begins to make, somehow he thinks it'll never really affect me. I've got so close to God and God knows me so well that these things, they'll not hold me back. I can continue to go to God's house. And he did, periodically. Began to tail off a little bit. 3 times a year he's still going to God's house. And he was getting close to the world. And I'll tell you, if you want to lose out with God, you become a friend of the world. You can't walk with one foot in God's kingdom and one foot in the kingdom of the God of this world. You can't do it. Many of us have tried. And we've tried to be a friend of God and we've tried to be a friend of the world. And God says, no, it's not going to happen. You can't serve God and mammon. Either you're a friend of Christ or you're a friend of the world. He says, if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. He says, marvel not if the world hate you. And Solomon became a friend of the world. You know, I remember one night, not all that long ago, I don't know what happened, but it just felt like somebody had lifted me and thrown me out of the bed. I just seemed to hit the floor with a big thump. And I woke up and I was about 6 feet from the bed. And I don't know what happened. I don't know what I was doing or what sort of dream I was having. But I'll tell you something. I was probably sleeping too close to the edge. And friend, if you sleep too close to the edge of this world, it'll not be long until you fall into this world. As Solomon did. And then Solomon entered into ungodly relationships. We read in chapter 9 and verse number 16 how that Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burned it with fire and slain the Canaanites and dwelt in the city and given it for a present unto his daughter. And you'll notice that Pharaoh, king of Egypt's daughter, it says there, was Solomon's wife. Solomon made affinity with the king of Egypt. And then it wasn't long before Solomon was married to the king of Egypt's very daughter. And friend, I think in Solomon's life, that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That was the thing that just ushered Solomon into a life of rebellion and a life of sin and drove Solomon away from the Lord. The Bible is clear. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? And I, friend, have seen more testimonies for the Lord ruined and destroyed, and more people get out of fellowship with God, especially young people, over an unequal yoke, perhaps more than any other thing. It seems to be the one tool that the enemy can use so skillfully to drive a wedge between the child of God and the God of heaven. But you know something? Solomon wasn't satisfied with just one wife. Because it says in chapter 11 and verse number 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women. Now that's a tragedy. Because if you go to the book of Proverbs and you study it for yourself, you'll read that many, many, many times King Solomon warned people about the danger of going after strange women. And he was talking about prostitutes, and he was talking about harlots, and he was talking about sexual immorality. He was talking about sex outside of marriage. He was talking about marital unfaithfulness. He was talking about all those things, and he wrote about it himself. And now all of these years later, Solomon himself is running after strange women. You know, I had a friend many years ago who I preached with, who I stood in meetings with, and he got away from the Lord. And about a year ago, he sent me a text message. And he says, I am now doing all of the things that I warned others about. And that young man has become a spiritual shipwreck. Lost his testimony completely. Lost his service for God completely. You see, you know what's happened in Solomon's life? He has developed a lust problem over a long, long period of time. You see, nobody crashes and burns overnight. There's something in the heart, and it's there, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows, and it manifests itself, and at last the truth of God's word comes to fruition. Be sure your sin will find you out. I was listening to a preacher during the week in the car. He went to be with the Lord in sad circumstances, was killed in a car accident in America. And in the course of his message, he made relation to a certain preacher. He didn't mention him by name, but he says there was a very famous preacher in the States. He had a TV show. He says, if I mention his name, probably a lot of people would know him. And it came out in the news headlines that this television evangelist was sleeping with prostitutes. Somebody had gone and turned him in. And this preacher friend of his, who had known him many, many years ago, says, I didn't believe a word of it. I thought it was a setup. He says, I had his phone number and I rang him, and I rang him up and says, brother, he says, I'm behind you all the way. This is just a smear campaign. They're just saying this about you. And on the other end of the phone, the other preacher says, just stop. He says, it's all true. He said, since I was a boy of 10 years of age, he says, I've been hopelessly addicted to pornography. And he says, I've never really got the victory over it. And his witness, his testimony was ruined. And many people would have looked to that man of God, for that's what he evidently once was. Somehow, all of that rubbish that was in his heart and in his life. And friends, we can all struggle with sin, don't get me wrong. But friends, if it's not repented of, and if it's not confessed, and if it's not dealt with, and we allow it to grow and fester, like Solomon, someday it will bring us down. Then Solomon gave himself to idolatry. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 11. It says, it came to pass when Solomon was old. You see, it's not how you start, friends, it's how you finish. Solomon started well, probably better than the majority of saints in Israel started. Everything about Solomon, oh, it just glowed, it was radiant, he was bright for the Lord, he was anointed, he was praying, he was working for God, he was not self-seeking, he was humble. Oh, but when he was old, it says, his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And this man that once had a heart only for God, like his father David, a man after God's own heart, it says in verse number 9, his heart was turned away from the God of Israel. And this man got involved in witchcraft. He got involved in the occult. He began sacrificing to idols, sacrificing to devils. And friends, these things are just as real tonight as they were whenever Solomon was on the earth and his heart was turned from God. Remember 1 Kings chapter 3? Solomon loved the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 11, his heart was turned from God. And the God that he once loved, by his lifestyle, it seems that he now hears. Come thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy, never ceasing, flows for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious measure. Robert Robinson's great hymn. You know, at the end of that hymn, he wrote the words, prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, take and seal it from thy courts above. Many years after Robert Robinson wrote that hymn, he was travelling in a carriage throughout England. He was saved under the preaching of George Whitefield. He was a mighty man of God. But whenever he was an older man, he was sitting in a carriage, and there was a woman sitting across the carriage, and she was well dressed. She was a young woman. She was reading a book of poetry and hymns and prayers. And she began to read some of them aloud to this stranger that was sitting across from her. She says, listen to this, come thou fount of every blessing. And she read the hymn and she says, isn't that so beautiful? And she read on, she got to the last verse, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. prone to leave the God I love. The man never said a word. He just began to cry. She was sort of annoyed about this. She felt embarrassed, like maybe offended this man. Maybe he's not a Christian man. Maybe he doesn't think about these things. And she said, "Sir, if I've said something, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say anything untoward or anything offensive." And he says, "Madam, you don't understand. Those words that you just read, I wrote them many, many years ago. And I wish, I pray to God that I was in the place today with the Lord that I was whenever I wrote those words. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." What about the God you once loved? And tonight your heart's embittered against him. He had forgotten the word of the Lord. You see, God had said to Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 4 down to verse number 9, he says, "If you walk before me in integrity from heart and uprightness and do according to all that I have commanded thee and keep my statutes and judgments, then I will establish thy throne of Israel forever." But he warns, if you depart from me, he says, things are going to happen. And Solomon ignored the warnings that were found in God's word. You know, folks, isn't it true that even as Christians, we can somehow think that we are above the word of God? And we say, "Well, you know something, preacher, I believe in eternal security. I believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. And as long as you've prayed a prayer somewhere back there, you go to heaven when you die. And it doesn't really matter what happens in between. You know, I believe if saved, always saved. But I also believe that a person that is saved can get hopelessly backslidden on occasion and get out of sorts with God and get so disenfranchised with church and with Christ and with God and with Christianity that their hearts become so hard and so bitter that the Lord has to break them and mould them again and make again the vessel that was marred in the hand of the potter. Solomon's favourable beginnings. What about your beginnings? Solomon's fearful backsliding. Lastly, Solomon's futile barrenness. Solomon, as a young man, was blessed. He was happy. He was content. He could sleep in his bed at nights. He was humble. He was satisfied. He was prayerful. He never wanted for anything. He had a heart for God, but sin robbed him of all those things. It is true that sin will take you further than you want to go. He didn't lose his wealth. He didn't lose his wives. But he lost his walk with God and his life became empty. He wrote in the book of Ecclesiastes, right at the start, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." And you read the book, he tried business. He did well in it, but it didn't satisfy. He owned property. Mountains of it. Didn't satisfy. He got married. Didn't satisfy. He had wives and concubines and mistresses. They didn't satisfy. He had children. They didn't satisfy. He threw big parties. They didn't satisfy. His life was just a life of emptiness. None of his pleasures, none of his possessions, his religion, his idolatry, none of these things satisfied Solomon. And maybe tonight that's you. You're empty. You mightn't want to admit that to anybody else, but you're empty inside. Paul asks a question in Romans 6:21. He says, "What fruit, what profit, in other words, what fruit have you in those things whereof you're now ashamed?" And what if we were to stand, friend, even as a believer who lived a carnal life at the judgment seat of Christ, and the Lord was to say to us, "Well, see that life that you lived, and you let that thing into your life, and it festered and it grew, what fruit had you in all those things?" And we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we're ashamed. His life became empty. He experienced as well the chastening hand of God. 1 Kings chapter 11. Verses 11 through to verse number 13, the Lord said in verse number 12 that he would rend the kingdom out of the hand of thy son. Now, folks, I think that's one of the most frightening things of all. God says, Solomon, I've given you a kingdom. And you've sinned against me. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to rend the kingdom out of the hand of your son. Solomon, your backslidden, sinful, carnal life is going to result in your own offspring losing their inheritance. But friends, it's possible for us to be saved, but backslidden. Backslidden to such an extent that our own children are the ones that lose out. And maybe you'll have children of your own. Maybe you have children of your own. And you get out of sorts with God and you get embittered against God and you bring children into the world. And those little children that you have there, they're not like the parents that Solomon had. You're their parents and you don't pray for them. You don't bring them to God's house. You don't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Someday you stand at the judgment seat of Christ and you answer for those children, as Solomon will do. And they'd lost their inheritance. Years ago, whenever hanging was still legal in the United States, an old man stood in the gallows, or a young man stood rather in the gallows. A large crowd had gathered. They were just about to put a black bag over his head and put the noose round his neck. Before they did that, the hangman says, have you any last statements or requests that you want to make? And he scanned the crowd and he saw standing at the back of the crowd an old man. And the young man in the gallows shouted out, he says, Dad, do you remember the spoon in the jar? The crowd looked at each other and they thought, this man's delirious. What's he talking about, spoon in the jar? Nobody knew what he was talking about, apart from the old man at the back of the crowd. He was the young lad's father. And that old man, whenever the boy was just a youngster, he used to have a spoon inside a glass jar sitting at the side of his bed. And he would give it a rattle. The little boy would hear the rattle. He would run into the kitchen cabinet. He would bring out a bottle of whiskey. He would pour his dad a glass of whiskey. The dad would take the spoon out of the jar. He would put a little bit of whiskey in the spoon. He would give it to his son. And that went on for years. And the son became an alcoholic. And one night in a drunken stupor in a fight, he killed another man. And now he stands at the gallows and he shouts out to Dad, do you remember the spoon in the jar? Solomon's kingdom would be divided. And God would raise up adversaries to chastise him. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if you're a child of God and you're backslidden tonight, and there was a time in your life whenever you know that you were truly saved, better just confess it all tonight than undergo the chastening hand of God. I spoke to a man just recently, an evangelist at one time at the Gospel Hall. Lovely man. He bid us Godspeed. Said he'd be praying for the meetings here. Says, you know, I went to England as an evangelist with the brethren. And he says, I lost out with the Lord. And he says, it was hard, hard years. And I says, well, you know, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And he just stood that day and he just cried like a child. And he says, you know, C.H. Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher, he said, whenever a little sheep goes astray, sometimes the Lord will send the under shepherd to go and find it. But sometimes he'll send the sheepdog. And for me, it was the sheepdog. And he says, through a series of events and through pain, I had to come back to the Lord. The spiritual shipwreck of Solomon. Whenever the Lord was on this earth, you know what he said? He says, a greater than Solomon is here. And he was speaking about himself. Because everything that Solomon should have been, peace, wealth, wisdom, riches, grace, king, All those things are the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the King of all grace. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. And He can save, and He can restore all the years that the locusts have eaten. Return, O backsliding people, for I am married unto you. Let us just unite our hearts together in prayer. We'll not sing anymore. Time is gone. Apologize tonight for going over time, but as we said on the first two meetings of the mission, if God has spoken to your heart, we're not going to embarrass anybody. But if the Lord has spoken to you and you know that things aren't right and you need to get right with God, if you need somebody to speak to, if you need help, if you need prayer, further instruction, we encourage you to wait behind. But it's not really me or anybody else you need, it's the Lord. And He'll take you. And He'll restore the years that the locusts have eaten. Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that in the closing moments of this meeting that Thou would speak into all of our hearts and lives. Lord, perhaps this message has been for a believer that's walking closely with the Lord just as a warning, maybe to prevent somebody from backsliding. Lord, maybe it's for somebody else who just landed on the rocks, O God, and they're broken. They're sinking, Lord. And they need God to intervene. Lord, we pray that Thou would step in. And Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst receive all honour and praise and glory. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy love that never changes. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. Lord, do it tonight. For the Saviour's sake. Amen.